You're listening to Ordinary Time, episode number 2. Welcome to Ordinary Time, the podcast for moms who seek to bring the riches of the church here into their homes, but have 100 demands on their time and energy. I'm Lauren, and my friend April and I are your hosts. April is a convert to Lutheranism from Evangelicalism. She homeschools her 3 children with the help of her husband and absurd amounts of coffee. She is a mediocre pianist, a decent baker, and an expert-level vintage bookshopper. I am a cradle Lutheran, wife to my high school sweetheart and homeschool mom of 4, with a love of languages and a penchant for book buying and starting projects on a whim. You can find us on Instagram at Ordinary Time Podcast, where we share tips and ideas for living liturgically in the day-to-day. Today, we have 2 very knowledgeable guests on the podcast. Pastor Chris Hull is the senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, and Linnea Sander is the church's cantor. They are the creators of the Facebook Live show, Him Sing, Her Sing. We are thrilled that they were able to join us today to discuss why we sing hymns and their importance in the life of the baptized. Let's get started. So how about that snowpocalypse last month? That was...
It was ridiculous. The holes just got their ceiling fixed.
Yeah.
Almost.
It's not quite done yet still.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those that don't know, I'm recording now.
But, oh, you're recording now. Okay.
So for those that don't know, Pastor Hull and Linnea and I all live in Texas. And so last month when we were supposed to record this episode, we all got snowed in and iced in and no electricity for hours and hours. And
yeah,
it was bad. So I'm glad to have consistent electricity and internet now so we can actually do this.
No kidding.
Right. But thank you guys for joining me. I know, I'm sorry April could not be here today. She's not feeling well. So let's all keep her in our prayers and hopefully she'll be back for the next episode.
Yes.
So, okay. So you guys, Pastor Hull is the pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas. And Linnea, you are the cantor. What exactly is a cantor?
So,
an awesome person.
An awesome person. Of course, it's Linnea.
That was me talking, not Linnea, by the way. Her voice didn't all of a sudden go up and off. I'm kidding. Would that be an insult to me or you? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Probably. I don't know. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry. I don't know why y'all invited me to do this. It's just going to derail everything. It's going to be bad. Oh, yes. This is why April actually skipped out on it. The sick thing is made up. She just didn't
it could
wanna,
be.
He, she just she didn't want to be with me. It's okay. Yeah. I'm used to it.
He's the comedic relief.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So cantor actually comes from a Latin verb, cantare, which it means to sing.
Right.
So this is back all the way back to the Hebrews. They had a cantor who led their prayer and song in the, well, when the synagogue back then, but yeah, mm-hmm. But they still do have a position of cantor. It's changed over time and different denominations basically have different responsibilities for cantors. But in our context, modern day Lutheranism, specifically in the LCMS, although it's pretty universal to the American Lutheran Church anyway, the cantor is basically just like the music director.
Okay.
Usually they're the organist and the choir director, and they might also teach music at the parochial school if there is one at that church. A lot of churches are bringing back the historical title of cantor, which can either be spelled with a K or a C, by the way. Right, you'll see it both ways. The German way is with the K. So since
I like it with the C.
Of course you do, because you're anti-German.
I am.
Oh.
It really captures the holistic nature of the position and how the cantors are actively involved in not only the musical life of the church, but also the liturgical and the worship life. At Zion, I play the organ for all the services. I direct the choirs. We've got an adult choir and a kids choir and a bell choir. We've got
and you're a homeschool mom on top of that. You
are I'm also a busy lady. Mom, and I have another part-time job that I do from home. So I, yes, they're all music related though. I also select the hymns and the pastors approve them. And I help plan services. And currently I'm also even doing the service portion of the bulletin. Wow. So, but so it's
a big job.
It is a big job, but I love it because I love liturgical living. I love being so hyper involved in the church because that's what our world should and currently does revolve around.
Right.
So even in our homeschool, you know, we are focused on the same things that we're doing at church, the same lectionary, the same hymns, all of that sort of thing.
Great. So you guys, you two started Him Sing, Her Sing last year after the shutdowns. Can you tell us a little bit about your show and how that came to be?
If we actually did it in the Old Testament time, we could have called it Hebrew Shebrew. You know?
That would have been cool. Amen so, and A so
clearly.
I started that before it became popular. Everyone's like, the congressman did it. No, he copied me. So it's fun. Do you want to recall? Do you want me to?
Your brainchild.
No, it was not. I think of things a lot. Well, what happened was let's see, this is about a year ago now. Laetara Sunday was the first Sunday we did a live stream and then did communion visits that week to people's houses. So, you know, people couldn't sing together, really. I would go into people's houses and ask them, as their pastor, what's their favorite hymn? And, you know, you would think, well, you're going to hear the typical ones, the popular American Christian, even though some of them are British, like Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art, Beautiful Savior. But as I listened to people, I was hearing hymns that you're not going to find anywhere else. Like one said, O God, O Lord of heaven and earth. Another one said, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. Oh, great. One of our members, one of our elders was like, he was the Starkey Te Deum, 941. So as I was listening to this, oh, it's a great
it's
one.
Awesome.
Linnea plays and it's like we're entering battle or something. It's awesome. But as I was hearing people say their hymns, I'm like, these are all good hymns. These are good Lutheran hymns. And they miss singing them in church together. So I thought for a day, I called Linnea. I said, hey, you know, what do you think of just doing a Facebook Live thing where we talk about a hymn and sing it? And people can listen to it and sing along with it. And she's like, that's a terrible idea. I hate I never want to do this. And all, no, she loved the idea. And that Wednesday after Laetara Sunday, we got together and recorded it. And the rest is history from there. So it gave people the background of the hymn. We sang the hymn. Linnea came prepared like she is right now. She has like a notebook with 1,000 things written on it. She does the background and all that stuff. I offer maybe from a pastoral perspective or comedy relief for the occasional approaching the camera and yelling at everybody. And then we sing.
Yep.
So, and we've been doing it now for, this Wednesday will be 1 year.
Yep.
That's amazing. So
fun times.
That's fun. So Linnea, you and I talked a little bit last week about a translation project that you've been working on where what was the one hymn, the German, that
Jesus Christless Treasure.
What is one of your favorite projects that you've done with hymns as far as either translation or just studying a hymn more deeply?
I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed that part of Him Sing, Her Sing, where we get to really delve into, you know, the time period in which they were written, the authors, the composers, their lives. And I mean, it's just over and over again, you see some of the most comforting hymns are coming from these pastors who were in horrific conditions, you know, in the 30-year war. And Gerhard, for example, you know, most of his family died and he's still churning out these amazingly comforting hymns. And so like just getting into the nitty gritty of that, and you can see why they're so comforting and mm-hmm. how that applies, you know, to the current times,
right?
Especially. And so just, I have really loved getting to do all that study, you know, having to do all that study, forcing having myself to make time to do this so that, you know, I could speak intelligently on Himsing, Hersing.
Right.
But the translation project that I did for Jesus' Priceless Treasure, you know, as good Lutherans, we get to that one phrase in the fourth stanza, you know, Jesus is my choice. And we all go, oh no. You know, yes. Jesus. And right. So I had learned German last fall in an online class. Thank you, mm-hmm. COVID shutdowns. And which actually it was literally the shutdown that gave me the chance to do it. So it was actually perfectly timed. But mm-hmm. I was like, okay, now I know the German. Let me look into this and see if the translation was accurate or if it was a bit of poetic license taken there.
And was it?
And yes, very much so.
I think we said, what was the German for?
Jesus is my, well, it's delust. So it's delust. Passion.
Passion or passion. Or desire. And
yes. Or, but it can also be like delight or joy, you know, right. But nowhere in any German dictionary that I looked up was there the word choice.
Right.
And
it just doesn't mean that.
It just does not mean that. And so, let's see, what did I end up translating it? Of course, my translation was not poetic. I was just doing a kind of a word for word, you know,
right.
get the thought from the German to the English. Mm-hmm. And so I said, where are you? Away with all treasures. You are my delight, Jesus, my joy.
Yeah. So, or Jesus, my pleasure.
Or Jesus. Well, yeah, you could. And she does use that. I mean, she does say, I'm trying to remember. And I think it's the final stanza. Uh-huh. She
that's
uses
the Chick-fil-A version.
Yes, my pleasure. My pleasure.
So that's if you're in the Chick-fil-A line, you sing that version.
So. Good to know. Good to know.
Then you get a free chicken sandwich.
But it was, you know, it's Catherine Winkworth, and she, her contribution to the Lutheran Church definitely should not be downplayed. But right. You know, she wasn't Lutheran; she was Church of England.
Shouldn't be downplayed, but I'm gonna.
Downplay it right now. No, because so, I mean, we discussed this quite a bit in our Himsing Hersing episode this past week about how it's baby steps. You know, you get this, she translated so many good German Lutheran hymns into English, and we literally would not even know about a lot of them in this day and age if it wasn't for her.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, hymnal committees do modify translations over the years. And so I think it's time to modify this one.
Yeah. So, For parents who maybe new converts to Lutheranism, or maybe weren't well catechized even growing up as Lutherans, how would you encourage them to handle hymns like this? That maybe the translation is not theologically the greatest, but it's still a good hymn.
Well, this comes with hymnody, and this is why I asked, was this addressed to Lene or me?
Either one of you is fine.
I didn't know what was going on here.
You are the pastor, so.
Yes.
I am. I say that every morning when I wake up, I am the pastor. It's going to be a good day. We're not going to cry as much today. And I, of course, failed. Hymnody is such a great pastoral care. When I go visit, like if you read or have ever done the service commendation of the dying, you sing things in it. You don't just pray mm-hmm. The litany and other things. You also sing the Nuctimittis. Mm-hmm. You sing, Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. You sing hymns. Before COVID, I would stay at people's bedside for hours because I could. And I would take my hymnal and just start singing hymns. I would sing A Mighty Fortress. I'd sing Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? I'd mm-hmm. sing seasonal hymns, like if it was Easter time. You can sing, you know, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Mm-hmm. You can sing Walther's He's Risen, He's Risen. And it does not sound like, oh, my darling Clementine, even though people say it does. I'm like, you know what? Walther's better than you, so be quiet. No one likes I'm not supposed to say my wife told me not to say but to say fun times instead, because that makes more sense. So when we look at hymns, because they can function as pastoral care, spiritual nourishment, that's why you add discussion on the hymn. So take a hymn like Amazing Grace. You know, we wouldn't say that's a fantastic Lutheran hymn. Well, one, it's not. It's written by John Newton, an Anglican. Mm-hmm. And it's become adopted by the evangelicals, even taking stanza 5 in LSB, which we actually don't sing at Zion. Whenever we sing it, we only do the first 4 stanzas. You know, it has, when we had first begun there, which is a very evangelical type way of seeing it, you can still sing Amazing Grace, but the pastor would then catechize you. What is this grace? So he'd point you to hymns like 566, By Grace I'm Saved. Mm-hmm. He'd point you to Salvation Unto Us Has Come and other hymns that define what grace is. Right. And it can help with that. So when it comes to someone being either a new convert or not catechized in depth, that's where the pastor enters in to teach what these hymns mean. Mm-hmm. Why it's better to sing a hymn like A Mighty Fortress instead of Onward Christian Soldiers. Not that it's bad. It's just not as good as it can be.
Right.
So it needs a lot more work with it. Whereas I can hand someone the hymn All Mankind Fell in Adam's Fall, and that gives you a great understanding of justification and the new life in Christ. Well, you could also sing Christ Be My Leader. Not as good a hymn, but can still be used if we understand things correctly. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't ask if that makes sense. Then I act like my words are such great high wisdom. It's fun times.
Anything you want to add to that, Linnea? Or are you?
Nope. He pretty much got it.
Okay. So, you know, we are in Lent right now. We are coming up on Easter. I think for the most part, people have a pretty good understanding of the idea of seasonal music. I mean, even the secular society understands that to an extent. But often you'll see people that maybe don't understand it as much when it comes to church music, particularly outside of Lutheranism. So why does it matter that we have specific hymns for the church year? Why shouldn't we just sing the same handful of hymns all year?
I really like the seasonal changes of the church year. We had a stint in my family when I was growing up in pop evangelicalism. And when we got back to Lutheran, we left when I was 6 and we got back when I was 12. And so when we got back to the Lutheran church, I was like, this is so cool. The church here is amazing. I love this so much. It follows along with the seasons in nature as well. You know, you have this periods of change and there are certain things that you do in certain times of year. And it's just the rhythm of life. And the church year does that too. And it gives you the time for, you know, sackcloth and ashes, and it gives you the time for, I mean, we should repent all year, but it's good to focus on that sometimes and remind yourself why. And, you know, and then Easter, you get the times of the mountaintop experience, right?
You get your hallelujahs
back. You get your, well, as I tell my kids, yeah, don't say the A-bomb, it's Lent.
I say the H one. I do
it with you do H. It with an H.
It's a little more haram.
It's with an H. The more Hebrew.
A little more haram. Yeah. No, it's just it just makes more sense. The A one is kind of like dry. It's like that's like the Lutheran way of doing it. Whereas the H, it's more of a
when you're
charismatic
it,
way of doing it.
I like I appreciate singing with an
H.
A.
I like singing with an H.
Anyway,
that's our division here at Zion. That's the only thing we argue about.
That's it.
How to say that forbidden word during Lent.
How to spell
an A or an H.
The A or H bomb. Yes.
Yep. I guess that could mean, never mind.
Stop. The church here helps you focus on Christ's life as well. And so it's, you know, you get all the different aspects. And so you have the hymns that focus on all the different aspects of his life and his teaching and his ministry. And so with the church year, you get the chance to focus on all those different aspects. With the hymnody, with the lectionary, the sermons, you know, all of those different things. And I mean, even Sunday school material does this, right? You know, they go through Christ's life. And so there are hymns appropriate for every season. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Right. I know, like, even just, I like you do, the seasonality of things. It's like, this is this, this is the time for this, and we're not going to step out of this is time. It's like, right. You know, Christmas music when you do it in July just doesn't have the same feel. It's like
Pastor Hall would argue with you.
Well, I mean,
he listens to Christmas music as he's writing devotions.
Well, oh, I mean, that might be a good, yeah. Well, and that's, you know, even in Texas, you know, you got to think about sometimes even in December, it's like
it's still warm.
It's like it's 70 degrees outside. It doesn't feel like Christmas.
Yes.
Let's not wish for cold weather now.
No, we are not.
We're both
on us again. Thoroughly enjoying our 75 degrees. Right,
we
now.
Do enjoy yes. it. So I will absolutely take that 75 degrees over.
Absolutely.
10.
But that's where, like,
10 with no heat.
That's where like end of the days come in is helpful too. Because as I've been going, I know Lene is this way as well. As we go on, it gets even deeper than just seasonal. It's like sexagesima mm-hmm. is preach you the word. Mm-hmm. You know, so it, you focus on that hymn, that understanding for that Sunday, and that guides your week. So it's so beautiful. Or one of my favorite hymn Sundays is Misericordia Sunday.
This third Sunday of Easter.
The third Sunday of Easter. So you sing like the King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Oh, yeah.
You sing those shepherd hymns and it's mm-hmm. beautiful.
At the Lamb's High Feast.
At the Lamb's High Feast. You know, it's just a great Sunday where you focus on those things. All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. You do the Behold a Host. You do the For All the Saints. It's just great stuff. Or even take the seasons like in Advent. Or like this coming Sunday with Lytara, it's more joyful.
Right.
It's like that little release during it. So it's kind of like getting Christmas music in July. Give you a little taste. It's
we still don't go not Christmas. All the way to the Easter music.
We don't go all the way, but it's
we get Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice.
Yeah. Right. So it's just fun times with that. So it always matches up and it can guide your week.
Yeah.
Right. So what would be some of your favorite hymns that would be good for parents to catechize their children? Or, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but let's start there.
Right there. So we were discussing this a little bit earlier, and specifically for catechesis, you know, everybody goes straight to Luther, right?
Right.
Which is great. He has a hymn for every part of the catechism. That's amazing.
Right.
You've got 581, which is, these are the Holy Ten Commands. You've got 954 for the Creed, 766 for the Lord's Prayer, 406 for baptism, 607 for confession, 617 for the Lord's Supper. It's great stuff, but and that's good for, and I would say definitely go there with older kids for sure. Right. In my family, we'd still do it even with the younger kids. I know the Holes do as well. But if you're just getting into this liturgical life and you're trying to figure out where the heck do I start just to get the basics under our belt, I am Jesus' little lamb, you know,
mm-hmm.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Kids love that one. All of
our kids. Oh yeah. My kids love
that one. That one out big.
Especially the older version. It's very good.
You know, we just learned about the older version because
get mad at the Pope
Ottoman
and Turks.
Yep. You know, we get into that time period in history. And I pulled out my, was it 1927 LCMS hymnal, and it has the Pope and the Turk in there.
Ready to go.
But they belt that one out. And it's a relatively short one as well. So if you're talking kids that aren't reading yet, it's easy to memorize these hymns. You know, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb is the same thing. And it gives them something to sing that has context in their daily life, you know, when they're afraid or when something you're about something bad on the news, you know, because mm-hmm. as much as we try to shield our kids from these things, they're still hearing about it.
Right.
666, mm-hmm. A Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe is another one our kids love. That's actually my 5-year-old daughter's favorite hymn. She loves that one.
I'd say The Foe's Scared of Rosie. So yeah.
The Foe is Scared of Rose. Yes.
Yes.
Did I cover everything you were going to say?
We have 594, God's Own Child, I gladly say it.
They love God's Own
Child. Yes. You know, we were in Tomball last week for Aiden's surgery, my 6-year-old. And when we were waiting for him to be taken back, he asked me to sing. You know, we have the Gloria book, and yes, he asked me to sing God's Own Child with him. And so we did that, and it was really comforting to him. And so
absolutely. Well, and that it gives them something to draw on. If right. you've memorized these hymns already in their early life, then when they're in that situation, they already know, okay, I'm baptized. This is all going to be okay.
Right.
You know, Jesus loves me. And
A Mighty Fortress is good too.
Yeah, A Mighty right. Fortress is a good one. And I also just, you know, hymns from your local church as well. You know, once you get a few of these quote unquote basics, they're not basic, they're amazing, but you know, start with a few. But then, you know, if there are some favorites that you sing frequently at your own church, you know, do those, because you want them to be tied into the life of the local church as well. So right. you want them to know the body of hymns that their church knows. So you could learn hymns for the upcoming Sunday or upcoming seasons. Find out if your church has a hymn of the month or hymn of the week. A lot of churches have their weekly catechesis, and there's usually a hymn included with that. You know, all of that.
I know that Grace recently has started having a hymn of the month that they started yeah. during all of this COVID stuff.
Yes.
Everyone's copying.
We have had a hymn of the month. Well, since you got here, I guess.
Yeah.
So we've been, no, we're getting to the point now where we're like, well, what do we cover? We're going to but we've also realized, you know, we've got a lot of new members that haven't benefited from the hymns of the month that we've already done. So we're going to start recycling, but that's good for the kids too, because, you know, whether or not they learned it before, they have, you know, they've grown, they can learn it again.
Right. And I know my kids particularly, especially enjoy when they see hymns in church that we've learned already. And they're like, yeah, I know this one.
Yes, exactly. My kids do the same thing. They're like, wait, this is the same hymn. Of course, and then I always tell them too, you know, okay, you've learned this hymn. We're singing it on Sunday. You better sing.
Yes. Oh. So beyond catechesis, we're in the middle of Lent, getting close to Easter. What would be some that you would recommend for starting for Lent and Easter?
I mean, smitten, stricken, and afflicted is a big one. That's yeah. quintessential.
He's making fun of me because in our episode from 2 weeks ago in Him Sing, Her Sing, I, for whatever reason, was really frazzled when I wrote out our whiteboard and I put smitten, stricken, and afflicted instead of stricken, smitten.
So now it's our hymn of the month. So I belt it out each time because I've almost memorized it. So it's nice. So the congregation goes stricken. I'm yelling smitten. They're like, wait a minute. Did I sing it wrong? He's never wrong about these things.
And I'm not wrong. The organ is in the back of the church and he's in the front of the church during distribution. And so I can still hear him belting out smitten, stricken. Anyway,
but you have like,
that's our hymn of the month. So,
but like Saturday mornings, when y'all were here last Saturday, we opened with Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me?
Right.
I mean, during Lent. It's not in the Lenten section, but it has an understanding of the baptismal life. And that's what Lent's really about. Is the penitential life of the baptized. So it's not just how bad do I feel, it's the reality of what Christ has done for me and continues to do for me. So that's a great one.
That I was thinking of, well, this is one we do regularly here. You're talking about, you know, for the hot mess mom, you just need the very basic one stanza, knock it out of the park, kids love it. On my heart and print your image.
Yeah.
That's 422 in Lutheran Service Book. And it's one stanza and it is just, it's everything. It's such a good hymn. And so that's, you know, and it's not too difficult of a tune either. So it's a simple one that kids can learn and then sing. You know, you could use it to open and close your devotions or sing it at the supper table or, you know, whatever, or in your homeschool, whatever the case may be in your family. But it just is packed with goodness. So that's one that I would definitely recommend for Lent specific. A lot of people like Lamb of God, Pure and Holy, because it's repetitive. And it's the Kyrie, you know. My kids really like Sing My Tongue. I know, because the tune is so great. The kids love the, you know, the martial tunes, right?
My oldest Liam, he's about to be 9. He when he was three, we have the, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the kids, the newest kids hymnal from
My CPH. First hymnal, isn't it?
Yes, it's that one. My first. And I don't know why I couldn't remember that. That's pretty easy. Anyway, he was like obsessed with roosters when he was three.
Oh, yeah.
And there's glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. And so he randomly, we were on a trip up to the panhandle to see my parents, and he started singing Glory Be to Jesus because that was his favorite one with the rooster.
That's great. And another good one, this actually just came to me because we're talking about that hymnal. My daughter, when she was young, really enjoyed the Agnus Dei that's in the Lenten section in there. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. And that's another good one. I mean, if you already use it in church, if you're in a liturgical church. And so, you know, help your kids memorize it. And that's one more thing in the service that they know how to do.
Right.
And it's another great one. It's a prayer. You know, I was actually talking to my oldest, who's about to turn 10, and he was feeling really guilty about something that he had done to his siblings. And I said,
that's good.
That's he's learning repentance and guilt, contrition.
He.
Well,
Luke. I thought you said she.
No.
I was like, Luke's a he. I was like, what's going on in your house? It's like, well, no. This podcast has turned into a different topic
Pastoral care is about to happen.
Now. All right.
I told him, pray the Agnus Dei, you know? And so it's just one of those things that will stay with them. So I do like that one for Lent as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what would you... what advice would you give to parents, moms who are not musically inclined or talented? They might think, how do I even begin to do this when I don't have instruments in my house? I can't play the piano. How do I teach my kids? I know that, well, I grew up in choir and I can read music to an extent still. However, I know that there are lots of hymns that I have gone to look up, like on YouTube, to learn, and either the accompaniment is too flowery and I can't pick out the melody.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for parents who may not know how to play the piano to start to do this. What advice would you give? What resources maybe to find to learn these?
So YouTube does have a lot. There are actually multiple accounts that I've been, because I generate a playlist each week. I actually slacked and didn't do it this week, but I usually generate a playlist each week of the hymns that we're going to be doing on the upcoming Sunday so that the congregation can, you know, play that during their week and learn some of the hymns, especially like when we have a more difficult hymn coming up or something like that. And I do occasionally run into the issue where I just can't find a decent version of the hymn that I'm looking for. A lot of times that's because it may be a newer tune in the Lutheran service book and it may be copyrighted, or the text is copyrighted. But there are a couple of accounts. I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but there's this one organist from Boston who is working on recording, I think, everything that's not copyrighted. And he does it on the organ, and he's an excellent organist. And it's very clear. It's the entire hymn. Sometimes the congregation singing, sometimes it's just him, you know, recording on his own. So if you can find his, I wish I could remember the name, but then there's another guy who did a lot of work recording all of the old public domain hymnals on the piano. And I use a lot of his renditions as well. Usually it's only like two stanzas, but it at least gives you enough that you can get the tune on your bed. So that would be any hymns that are also in the Lutheran hymnal, the old red hymnal. But there are also a bunch of CPH, Concordia Publishing House's albums on various streaming apps. So like Spotify has them, Apple Music has them. I'm assuming Google Music probably also has it.
I think Amazon Music also has a lot of it.
Also has a lot of them. So they've got Hymns for All Saints is one of them. And they have a couple different seasons for that one. So I think they have one CD that's like for Lent and Easter, one that's for Advent and Christmas, one that's for general year. And there's a lot in that collection. And then there's also Heirs of the Reformation, which has a ton of the good, you know, old school Lutheran hymns, actually old school Lutheran hymns, not what we think are old school, but old Lutheran hymns. Then there's one for Martin Luther's hymn specifically, Martin Luther Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Mm-hmm. That one's a good one as well. And then they also have Evening and Morning, mm-hmm. which the liturgy for all of
are
in the Lutheran service book. So if you want to do matins at home, they have it recorded and you just hit play, and it doesn't matter if you can carry a tune or not, you have the accompaniment. They have matins, vespers, morning prayer, evening prayer, and the litany, which is one of my goals, is to teach my children to sing the litany.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so there are resources out there. And even if you can't necessarily sing, especially if you're learning something that's coming up in church, all you have to do is just help them memorize the words, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I alternate. So I'll speak a line, you know, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. Now repeat me. And they stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying, you know? And then what I do, because I can sing, you don't have to be able to be, you know, you don't have to be a proficient singer. Your kids don't realize that you're not a proficient singer. they love your voice. They love hearing you sing to them. So then I would sing it, that same phrase, and have them repeat it. Mm-hmm. So usually, because my kids love music, we just speak through a stanza once, and then every time after that, we sing it. So that's how I do it, alternate, because I've got only one reader and the other three don't read, but they can memorize very well. Kids love memorizing songs. We know this, you know, the ABCs. So teaching them to sing something is actually relatively easy. Mm-hmm. And otherwise you can just, you know, create your own playlist from some of these albums or YouTube playlists or whatever, and just play it in the house. And eventually you'll start noticing that your kids are singing and they're humming. And, you know, my kids do the thing where they'll put nonsense words to a hymn tune, and then they'll put the hymn words to a nonsense tune.
Yeah.
But they're learning and they're using the knowledge.
Right.
And I have a Luther quote here. We'll see which one is it. I don't remember. Well, Luther, I mean, first of all, he was extremely big on music and just highly encouraged people.
Second greatest gift after the word itself. Right?
Exactly.
That
yes.
was going to do, was it?
No, that was one of them. No, there's another one. Okay, no, it was from Table Talk, or no, from his commentary on Psalm 23. But like Luther would have these, you know, table talk meetings, right, in his house, and they would sing and they would play instruments and they would talk. And
I always like the ones after he drank a little bit. Is what he's thinking. Well, what do you think of Andreas Karlstadt? I'll tell you what I think. It's fun times. So
he was apologizing to composers whose works they were performing. And he said, you know, we sing as well as we can here at table and afterward. If we make a few blunders, it's really not your fault, but our ability, which is still very slight, even if we have sung the piece over two or three times. So like Luther, you know, you don't have to be perfect at it. It's not, you know, we're not aiming for perfection here. Mm-hmm. We just want to educate.
Right. Right.
And let's see. I had a couple other Luther quotes, but he loves music. And, you know, we were talking about how important it is to teach kids these hymns so that they have something to draw on.
Right. And,
you know, he says music is the constant resounding praise of God and his creation, and leads the man who practices it to God, teaches him to understand better God's word, and prepares him for the reception of divine grace, while making him a better man and a happy Christian, and driving out the devil and all vices. Nice. It's like, is that what we want for our kids? Yes!
Absolutely.
And so, you know, just, and it's, this is all, he's teaching about music in general, but, there's a reason why he wrote all these catechetical hymns, and why he wrote was 70 hymns that he ended up writing over his lifetime, because he firmly believed in the nature of congregational song.
Right.
How important that is.
Right. And kind of on that note to wrap this up a little bit. So over the last year, so many churches have been limited to just preaching, like just sermons, essentially. Right. And so in a time where singing is banned in many places, why is it important that we continue to learn these hymns and continue to teach them to our children when in the world says, hey, you can't sing?
Well, it's kind of like I went to HEB. That's a grocery store here. Well, the grocery store.
The
here.
Grocery store in Texas.
The grocery. You go to other ones, but they're not as good. I was walking in there the other day and Whitney came on. You know, ooh, I want to dance with somebody, you know. Yeah. And I was walking with my cart full of stuff and I have my beard hanging out of my mask. And I think I have my shirt that says strong and pretty on. And I'm dancing to Whitney and singing along with Whitney as I go through the store. And this is the thing, we Christians, and this is the problem I had with COVID. And this is why maybe I upset people. We realize how lazy we are this year that we just do stuff on Sunday mm-hmm. and then we do nothing the rest of the week. We don't sing, we don't read, we don't pray. We get it all done within an hour a week and then we go on with life.
Right.
And what this has helped us with is sing in the grocery store. You can sing Whitney or sing the hymns. I actually sing hymns when I walk through grocery stores. I sing hymns in the car. I sing hymns in the shower. Sing all week long. No one robbed you of that. And if they throw you in jail for singing a hymn at the HEB, that would be something. You know, what is he in prison for? Well, he sang the fifth stanza. You know, I mean, what is he in? It'd be pretty funny to see.
Sing in the midst of very,
in the very midst of life, you know.
You can't find toilet paper.
Yeah, you can't find. It'd just be fun. Okay, why'd he get in trouble? Well, he sang, why should cross and trial grieve me when they didn't have his brand of sausage? but the reality is with it, hymns are great in church. They're fantastic. But there's so much more than that. Right. The memories I have of singing hymns isn't singing it on a Sunday morning. It's singing it at the graveside. Right. It's singing it in my living room. It's singing it in the car. It's all these different places where, and that's the other thing is we sing them because they assure us of the love of Christ. And you need that assurance more than just 1 hour a week. You need it every moment.
Absolutely.
So we teach these so that they can carry them. Because remember, in the catechism, Luther makes the point, do the sign of the cross and then go about your day singing a hymn. So I ask people, when is the last time? That's why people don't memorize the hymns, because they only sing it once a week.
Right.
Instead of, well, I memorized this hymn because I sang it 30 times last week.
Right.
I heard it on Sunday morning, couldn't get it out of my head. So now I'm singing it like a bad Lady Gaga song or something. You don't want to memorize it, but guess what? Later that week, you have a poker face.
Right.
And that's the thing. So that's my encouragement is as we have these regulation restrictions, don't be like the Christians were of old. Don't stand there and say this isn't fair. Instead, sing somewhere else. Sing while you're at the supermarket. Sing while you're at the DMV. No one will sit near you if you're singing there. They'll avoid you. You'll be the weird guy in the corner singing some hymn by Saint Columba. You know, Christ is the world's Christ redeemer, right? Yeah. You know, trust me, you sing that in the line, you'll get to the front of the line because people want you to leave. Right. So that's advice to get through the DMV quicker. Sing hymnody. I don't know. That's my thing is it's, and even the hymnal, like have a hymnal. We have people wanting hymnals back in the pews at church here. And I said, I'd love to have hymnals in the church. But if that's the only time you're actually using it is when you're in church on Sunday morning, then that's like if you're married, only seeing your spouse for one night a week for dinner. It makes right. me
Yeah, we have our own, and so we bring them to church with us because we need the, well, I'm like, we need them to follow along unless you've got the liturgy memorized, but I don't have all the hymns memorized. Right. And so it has become obvious in church that they're not superfluous. However, we just bring our own.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A lot of our people have started doing that too. So I definitely had that in my notes. Use your hymnal.
I saw it in big words from over here. But no, you need to, right?
You need one at home. Like, this is the resources contained in the Lutheran service book are, you have everything you need in that book. If you have that book and a Bible.
Well, it's like Sheldon with his hand sanitizer. Have you ever watched The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
You know, Sheldon had hand sanitizer in the car. He had it in the office. He had it at the house. Use that as your hymnal. Have your car hymnal. Have your church hymnal. Have your bathroom hymnal. Because no one really wants to touch that one. You know, have a hymnal everywhere. I mean, have one in the shower that's above the water and you can look at it. But the thing is, have a hymnal all over the place. So you always, I have like, I think 20 hymnals in my house.
Well, yeah, between mine, my kids.
Yeah,
my reference hymnal that I have on my desk.
I think in my office right now, I have like a bunch of them. I don't even know where they are. I just find them occasionally. Like, hey, here's a hymnal.
But then you have it on hand. So when okay, so we got to do morning devotions. Here we go. Here's a hymnal right here. We're going to do evening devotions. Here's a hymnal right here by the supper table. You know, whatever your situation is, you know, put a hymnal in the place where you're going to need it. Get multiple hymnals. They're not expensive.
Right.
The pew
is like my kids get one when they can read.
That's my kids too. So, two of them have a hymnal now, but
yeah,
it's got, you know, more than just the hymns. There's the indexes in the back that give you the authors, the translators, the composers. So if you're following the church year and you're celebrating a saint day, right? Well, many of our saints either wrote hymns, composed hymns, translated hymns, or are mentioned in a hymn. So you can get a hymn for the majority of the feast days that we have, you know, like St. Patrick's Day is coming up. So you can do, I bind unto myself today, as Pastor Hollis did his fist pump. He loves that one. And that's St. Patrick's hymn. So you can find this out by looking in the indexes, you know, that you don't have in your service bulletin, right?
Right.
And then there's the services, all of the services, all the divine services, the daily services. If you are a musical family, you can do Matins and Vespers and Compline. If you're not, there's the spoken daily prayer services that start at page 294, I believe. Mm. And then you've got the lectionary, the Sunday lectionaries, all of them, the 1 year and the 3 year. And the daily lectionaries that are the same readings that are in the Treasury of Daily Prayer. So if you have a Treasury of Daily Prayer, that's awesome. That's a great resource. But if you don't, the same lectionaries in the hymnal, the litanies in the hymnal. I mean, there's just the catechism, the small catechisms in the hymnal, the Athanasian Creed is in the hymnal. Everything is in the hymnal. So I cannot encourage people enough to get multiple hymnals, but just get one to start. And the pew edition is only like $20 on Amazon. And the personal edition is great. That's what Pastor and I both have, and they're falling apart because we use them so much. But
right, that's what we have. Well, we do have a pew edition, but we also mostly have the personal ones because they're easier to carry around.
They are easier to carry around. They're easier for small hands to handle. Mm-hmm. They stay open, so you can flop. You know, it's like your good old floppy Bible, right?
Right.
You flop it open, and it stays open, so they don't have to worry about, you know, holding a page. And it's smaller and lighter, so it's just easier for kids to deal with. And my kids love theirs, and we got them the little, you can get the little extra ribbons to slide in the spine. And it's, my kids demand those. Like, we have to mark all the hymns. So yeah, just getting your kids used to using the hymnal, yourself used to using the hymnal, and just daily life is just huge. And it spreads that good stuff out that you get on Sunday, and you just keep it going throughout the week. And it grounds you not only in the church year, but, you know, in the forgiveness that you receive and in the gospel and just all of that good stuff that's in the hymnal. So
it's, and you know, most of us are going to memorize music at some point anyway, so might as well be hymns,
right? Pretty much.
It's either that or Lady Gaga.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes.
So tell our listeners where they can find you guys if they want to go watch Him Sing, Her Sing.
So Him Sing, Her Sing is available on our church Facebook page. So we are Zion Lutheran Church, Tomball, Texas. Tomball is T-O-M-B-A-L-L, exactly like it sounds. The videos, I know a lot of people, you know, there's been this mass exodus from Facebook, right? You can still view public pages. So even if you don't have a Facebook account, you can still go to facebook.com/, I believe it's Zion Tomball.
Why are you asking me?
I know it's not.
I'm like the wrong guy to ask.
I think it's Zion Lutheran Church, Tomball, Texas, like / Zion Lutheran Church, Tomball, Texas. And it's a very long.
Asking me.
Yeah, I know. I know. You can still find the Him Sing, Her Sing videos there. Of course, Facebook's a little disorganized, so it's hard to scroll back. But and we have a ton of other live videos as well. So,
and it's HYR.
Yes, that was Pastor Hall.
Yeah. That was, I think, a joke the first week, I believe, and then
it was.
We just kept it going.
And then it just became the title. Him Sing,
and it's
Her
fun
Sing.
Times. So right. Other people have tried imitating it, but you know, it's all that.
An amen imitation. And a woman just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Just
no, it doesn't.
Pastor Hall also has a blog, which you haven't written an article.
I need to write more on there. I actually have a bunch of ideas to write. And then we do some videos. I'm going to start the prep for Sunday again this afternoon. So
cool.
But no, it's all, we're huge into hymnody here. I'm big into hymnody. I love it. Teaches you something. It's like, if you listen to like Irish music or Scottish music, you actually listen to it, it's telling stories of things. It's narratives of a people. Yes. And that's what hymnody is the narrative of God's people. That's what hymns are. Mm-hmm. It's the narrative of that. And if you see it that way, you're actually telling stories. You're listening to stories. It makes it a lot livelier. And, not just empty words.
It's
it means
telling
something.
Our story.
Yeah.
You know, we've all kind of lost in this COVID time a lot of our sense of place and culture because we've been denied, you know, meeting together to celebrate those things. But the one culture that really matters is the church's culture. Mm-hmm. And so if you're telling the narrative of that story to yourself and to your kids, you know, you ground yourself in that. It's so important.
That's fun.
Oh, I also, I started a separate Instagram so I can read about him.
Please tell us about that.
I didn't know this.
Because you're not on Instagram.
Yeah, I am.
Well, then, okay, I'll tell you later. Well, man, you're going to hear right now.
Everyone assumes I don't know anything or do anything. I have Instagram. I do pictures of me with cookies.
Oh, is that?
I'm kidding. I eat the cookie too quickly, then I can't take
pictures.
And then
you're like, oh, I forgot to take a picture again.
I do like
cookies. So my
Instagram. Gotta make some more so I can take pictures.
Yeah. There you go.
It's like, Allison, we need another dozen. So why don't my pants fit?
So my new Instagram is Joy with Music Crowned from
I like that.
Oh Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. Yeah. But there's periods in between each word. So joy.with.music.crown. So I ramble. I've done this for years on my Facebook and my family Instagram. But I just recently decided that I would share those ramblings with the world. So
when was this? I didn't know.
Like 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. I'm like, is this months ago? Week? I'm no. Like, do I not pay attention to things? Okay.
No, but I'll just I discuss all things hashtag cantor life. So you know, all those my choir, you know, mishaps and celebrations and you know, teaching hymnody to the Sunday school kids here. And we have a lot of fun. So there'll be lots of hymns on that Instagram.
Lots of hymns. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we finally got to do it.
Yes.
And I will have to talk to you guys later.
Sounds great.
Fun time. Thanks. Thank you for having us. We had a great time. And keep up this work. The devil hates your guts for it.
Yeah. It's
awesome. Apparently, because, you know, he keeps trying to make it not happen.
So. There you go. Fun.
Okay. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all for today. If you want to hear more from Pastor Hull and Linnea, don't forget to watch Him Sing, Her Sing on Zion's Facebook page. Then go grab your hymnal and sing to drive out the devil. Until next time, we have the one thing needful, Soli Deo Gloria.